Lord, we are all blessed to be a blessing. So I pray, Lord, that you would just touch us and activate us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to share something funny to start off with. I was talking with Brenda the last couple of weeks, my wife Brenda. She's the motivation of my life. And we were talking about way back when I was 20 years old, Pastor Bill and Rebecca and I and Brenda and I were in the same ministry called Maranatha Ministries. And his former pastor didn't know me, never met me before, Don Northrup. He used to be a traveling minister at different churches in our ministry, and he had me stand up in the congregation. He gave me a word that the Lord had put on his heart to share something about my future, and one of it that struck me that I've pondered all these years, and I was just pondering this statement very deeply, that love was going to be the center of my life. So I was telling Brenda about that. She goes, well, that's easy. I'm the center of your life, so I'm your love. I said, I don't know. Amen. Well, this very month is a special anniversary in the Crames family. This is our 30-year anniversary of the story I'm getting ready to share with you. It happened in 1988. It's a story of going from business failure to success. And I'm going to share how it happened and some principles about it. So some of you, or many of you, don't know my history, especially before we came here to the Gainesville area, but my DNA is really from my grandpa. I call him Bapa William Crames. He was an entrepreneur. He was involved in, he said he was one of the founding board of realtors for the city of Miami back in the early 1900s. He also said he had met Henry Ford, and he wrote his own autobiography in 1987 called Deeds and Misdeeds. So he had very great adversities in his life, a lot of stories, a lot of failures, and a lot of successes. So I can relate to my grandfather, and I'd like to share that with you this morning. But the first thing I want to say is, no matter what you're going through, do not quit. I went through some tough times. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're going through some right now. We're not comparing whose times are tougher, but we have a challenge in life. We have an adversary, the devil, and then we have circumstances in our life. And I would just say to you this morning, do not quit. Just keep on going. There may be some tweaks in our life that God will do over a period of time, but he does have a good future for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So there is a good future and a good hope. Now, I didn't say it would be easy, and it doesn't say here it would be easy. There will be challenges in front of you. There will be things, disappointments, maybe some failures. But like I said, most of you don't know much about my background, but I just wanted to read you a list. Oh, by the way, notes. If you didn't get any notes and didn't get a welcome, worship guide, there are notes in there. But if you need some, please raise your hand. You can follow along with us. Okay, so the first scripture I want to read, it's in your notes, is Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Follow along with me. It's in the said, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Circle that in your notes, because that's what we're going to talk about today. "And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So let me tell you some things that I did in the 1980s, from about the age of 22 when I first got married in 1980, all the way up to 1987. Here's a few of the things that I endeavored in. Some of these things were short-term. They were okay, but they didn't last very long. Some of them I just totally failed at, and some of them God blessed for a short time, and I moved on to something else. But here's some of the things I did. I was a indoor vacuum cleaner salesman, door-to-door, three different times in my life. The first time, I was not a Christian. And the guys that were training me in Orlando looked at me and said, "You are the most boring person I have ever seen in my life, and you will never be a success at anything. You will fail at everything." They literally told me that. "You will fail at everything you do." Now, thank God I became a believer and learned better after a period of time. I tried two more times as a Christian, and I didn't do good. I did not do good. I was also a campus evangelist at Auburn. I was a pipe fitter for an oil field blowout prevention machines in Houston, Texas. I was a headhunter for job placement agencies. I was an accounts receivables clerk. I was a shrimp runner in Louisiana to Grand Isle, Louisiana. That was mainly an ulterior motive so that I could go fishing. I was a roof leak repairman. Then I owned my own roof leak company called Carl's Roof Repair. I was the manager of a book that, based upon the book we now own today in Baton Rouge, called Tiger Gold Coupon Books. And I was the manager of sales of that. I was also the manager of Baton Rouge's first ever color apartment and condominium guide. I was the owner of Quick Dry Carpet Cleaning. I was a contracted sales representative for Hometown Monopoly Games. We did 5 different games of your city, like a Monopoly game of the businesses in your city. I was contracted to sell Christmas trivia games. I was a UPS preloader. I was a salesman for Radio Shack, and I endeavored in several different network marketing opportunities, and I failed at all 3 of them. And I was the owner of the Galveston Apartment and Condominium Guide, and I was the owner of the Grand Isle Visitors Guide. Now, that was all from 1980 to 1987. So we don't have time to go into any of that stuff. So most of you who know me think that we've only done Gator Greenbacks, right? Because we've been doing that for 29 years. Now, that has been a super-duper blessing, and it's been a success. And then probably a lot of you think that all of our sons were born and raised here. That's not true either. One of them is Kevin, our youngest son. So actually, our sons were born in 4 different states. While we were on this journey, we lived in Auburn, Alabama, Mexico City, Mexico, Houston 2 times. Robert was born there, our oldest son. We lived in Lubbock, Texas, Baton Rouge, where Wesley was born, LaGrange, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, Grand Isle, Louisiana, Galveston, Texas, Trenton, Florida, Alachua, Florida, Gainesville, Florida, more than several places in Gainesville, Florida, and most recently we've lived here for 4 years in Micanopy. So that's kind of but now, after 1988, I had a company called Neighbor Saver Direct Mailer. I did marketing for Brenda's the author of 6 workbooks for homeschoolers called Homeschool Hussies and Ponies. We would go to conventions and I would be her big mouth representative for that. I did various one-time advertising placemats and menus for restaurants. We still have one that's been a blessing for since 1987 in LaGrange. And we've been, and our family, because it's a family affair, it's been the owner of Gator Greenbacks for 29 years. It's a coupon book, and we usually have some in the back there that we want to bless you with to save money around town. So that brings us to the story in 1987. I had just finished one of those hometown Monopoly games of Atlanta, Georgia. It was their sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary of Atlanta as a city. And we did a game for them, a Monopoly game of the city of Atlanta. I'd finished it off. It was a success, but I had no project, no job to go forward into. So a thought came to me. My old business partner from the Tiger Gold coupon book back in Baton Rouge, we had seen a book of Birmingham. It was an upscale book of the who's who of great businesses in Birmingham called Birmingham Signature. And I really thought that was really a cool book. And the thought came to me, and I'd been thinking on it for several months, can I do that in Atlanta? And I prayed about it. I sort of felt okay about it. And I interviewed for some other jobs. There was no open doors at the time. So I decided to do it, even though I didn't have anybody tell me this is a good idea. But I decided to go ahead and do it anyway, and I borrowed a lot of money from my parents, and I went forth with it. So that was like September of 1987. In 1988, I figured out this was not working. The sales were not going. I'd spent all my money. It was not going anywhere as like I thought it would, and so I decided to lay it down and quit. And I knew it was God, though, telling me inside, even though I knew that I had made a big mistake doing this, lost a lot of money, I had no clue how God was going to bail me out, I knew it was time to lay it down, and something inside of me said, it's going to be okay. So this reminds me of something. I brought my little calculator with me. Back before this story took place, I tried a lot of things. And we really just lived paycheck to paycheck. I got in debt 2 times to the IRS and was paying them back payments because I didn't pay my quarterly taxes like I should, and I don't advise doing that, by the way. And so I was in the process of paying back, and I'd made quite a bit of progress when we had failed at this, but now I had no more money to pay my monthly payments back to the IRS. So Brenda said, "Carl, you always get out your calculator, and I'm always going, how am I going to do this? How, if I do the next project, that somehow, some way, it's going to work out, if I do this amount of sales." And so this is the way I did things. I didn't understand that there's nothing wrong with using your calculator, but I wasn't in faith. I was always trying with my own intellect, asking God to bless it, but I was not in faith. I was trying to calculate how I could do this. How could God bless us? And you can see all the times I tried and didn't do too good. And so that was fear. So God didn't want me to live in fear. He wanted me to live in blessing. So here I am pondering the situation that I was in, and I'd always been able to bail my way out of with the calculator, but this is way bigger than my calculator. I had nothing, really. This is way bigger. I thought, now wait a minute, God, why? Why me? Why am I going through this? Actually, after all, I dedicated this book to God. I had been living a life dedicated to God. I was going to church. I was participating in activities at my local church, had been all my life. I'd been a tither. I'd given 10% of my income all the time to God, but suddenly I'd failed. Big time. I had nothing to fall back on. I had no credit cards to fall back on, no savings, and I had a broken down 1978 Chrysler LeBaron that was breaking down all the time, and I had a baby. Michael was due to be born in just a few weeks with no way to pay the hospital and no way to pay the doctor off. I owed several major businesses, including a major bank who had placed an ad in the publication that we were going to do. By the way, it was called Atlanta's Premier. And I had no way to pay them back either. Then we received an eviction notice on our door. I never had that happen before. I had a couple weeks to pay off my monthly apartment and rent, and no way to do it. Then it happened. The start of something good. Now, God loves us. He knew that I was going to do all this stuff. He knew that I was going to go through this, and I just called God's mercy showing up. My old jogging buddy, when I used to live in Houston, David Underwood, gave me a call out of the blue and said, "Hey, how's it going?" I said, "Well," and I told him. And he said, "Hey, wow." He said, "Let me tell you my story." He had had something similar. Everybody's different, but he had a similar story. He was an engineer. He was a mechanical engineer, and he had a couple kids, 3 kids, I think, at that time, and he just couldn't get his finances in order. He was always running out of money, and he got so frustrated that one day he was telling me this story on the phone. I'm just listening, bug-eyed, just listen to this thing. And he said that one day he was pondering getting another part-time job, and he said God just spoke inside him and said, "You need to get a part-time job, all right. You need to get a part-time job confessing my word." And he was squalling and bawling on the ground, and it's like, whoa, I'll do it. So he started. He wrote scriptures down. He says, "Carl, I got 3 pages of scriptures I'm going to send you." He said, "But let me tell you this first. God is not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He knew you were going to do this. And he really does want to turn this mess around. He really does, Carl. I don't care what you just did. I don't care how many times you've done it. God wants to turn this mess around." So he said, do this second thing. He said, "Make a decision. Make a decision that you're going to believe from this time forward, no matter what, that God's going to bless you, no matter what your circumstances are." And he says, "And number 3, I'm going to send you these 3 pages of scriptures that talk about God's goodness and his blessing and his promises." And he says, you need to say these things out loud every day, as often as you can. You need to pray them like a prayer out loud every day. And the 4th thing he said, and to kind of help that along, listen to teaching tapes. Now, back then we had what we call cassettes. Anybody remember cassettes? A few of y'all do. The millennials don't know what I'm talking about. But we had cassette tapes that you pop in the little machine. Now we've got CDs and DVDs and all the stuff on social media that I'm so behind the times on. But so he said, listen to people who teach on the success that God has in scriptures and principles. Listen to these things because they will renew your mind and change the way you think. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. So I said yes to all those things. I made the decision that God's going to bless me. He sent me the pages of scriptures, which we have some in the back. We'll talk about that at the end of the service. And then I started reading them out loud. So in the meantime, I still have no job. I start doing some job interviews, went nowheres. I had still nothing going on, and Brenda's baby was due any day at this point. And so then I got another call. God is good. He got another call. My old mentor and business partner from Baton Rouge, where I did the Tiger Gold coupon book and the apartment guide, I mentioned those couple things there. He calls me out of the blue, and he says, Carl, would you like to go to Dallas? He says, there's an apartment guide that we do once a year there that's for the grad students. Would you like to go renew the sales on? And I go, well, yeah. And little did he know that that's where my friend David, who just sent me the scriptures, had moved to. He lived in Dallas, so I told my friend David about it. He goes, well, come stay with me. So God just paved the way to go to Dallas, and a few days later, Michael is born. Michael's birthday will be this Friday. Happy birthday, Michael. And by the way, praise God for David Foreman. His birthday was Monday. A big year. Elaine's birthday's this month. March is a great month. All right, so about a week after Michael's born, off I go to Dallas in an overheating 1978 Chrysler LeBaron. Let me tell you, this thing was a trip. I had broken down. Has anybody ever been on one of those loops that go around your city, the big, like in the I-285 loop in Atlanta or in Houston or whatever? This thing actually broke down right before I left on the inside lane during rush hour. I was right up against the concrete wall, and I stopped for a second. I said, in Jesus' name, start! And it cranked back up, and I just had enough power to get off and go up the exit ramp, and then it died down in some parking lot, some area. So they fixed it up, but the guy said, this thing is a mess. It's still overheating. They fixed something electrical. But off I went, pulling over several times to Dallas, and I got there. So anyway, I had been reading my scriptures and was staying with my friend David there, and he had some guy working on my car, but David was saying it's hopeless. So I needed another car is what it came down to. But you know, during this time, I was reading my scriptures out loud, and something was changing on the inside of me. I could sense something. Faith was starting to build in me. Nothing really other than me going to Dallas had happened yet, but something was going on in the side of me. And then my friend said, Carl, listen to this guy on TV. He's a minister, and he teaches on the biblical principles of success in life. And I'd heard about him, so I went ahead and listened to it. And in the middle of it, he paused, and some guy that came on was a young entrepreneur like me, a business guy. And in the middle, and all of a sudden, he gave this testimony about how God had blessed him with a station wagon. I'm going, wait a minute. This is a God setup. So I remembered back in Atlanta, where I just come from, we had a friend of ours there, a married couple, Randy and Roberta Davis, and we actually knew them back in Auburn when I lived there. They were in Atlanta, and they had a Subaru station wagon. I said, I just love this thing. I said, Brent, I want one of those. You want one of those? I want one of those Subaru station wagons. So while I was listening to the story on the TV, a warmth. I mean, I've only had this happen one other time. I literally felt a warmth come on my body, and I knew that I was supposed to have this Subaru station wagon that I dreamed of. I don't know how I was going to get it, but I knew I was supposed to get it. So the thought came to my mind. I knew the principle that, you know, you just don't say something. You go do something. Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So one of the principles I like is to give, to show to God, give a seed sacrificial gift in faith, saying, God, I'm going to give, knowing that you're going to give back and bless me. So that thought came to my mind while this guy was finishing up this testimony. And I said, you know, I only got 50 bucks in my pocket. I need to give something. I don't have any clue where I'm even going to get it from. So I thought, $1,000, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it. I don't know where I'm getting it from, but I'm going to give it. So as soon as I was done, the minister came back on after the testimony. He pointed his finger out there and he says, someone listening to me right now, God just spoke to you. You're to give $1,000. And I go, whoa. I said, that was me. And I knew that warmth was just still resonating inside me. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. I called on the phone, made my pledge. I don't know, I gave like 25 bucks or something. But I said, you know, as I get money, I'm going to give it to him. Now, so that was my pledge to activate my faith with something, some works involved in it. So I called Brenda up, and I said, Brenda, God is moving. I just heard, and I told her about the testimony. He says, I'm going to go out and find me a Subaru station wagon. You know, she'd heard a lot of stories. She'd heard a lot of my interesting ideas that I've had over the years. But she knew something was different this time. She told me that. She was back by herself. Her mom was helping her out. And it's rough raising a little baby without dad to be there, but her mom was helping out. And I said, hey, I just got this apartment guide going, and we landed a place to stay in, to trade. Instead of them paying money to our apartment guide company, I was going to trade or barter so that I could stay in their apartment and they would get an ad instead. So I said, you need to come here, but in the meantime, I'm going out to find me a Subaru. And so she was starting to pack, and while she was packing, she opened up her dresser drawer, and inside of that drawer was a page of the Bible that had been ripped, just one page of the Bible that had been ripped out. It was Genesis 12, 1 through 3, I will bless you to be a blessing. It was supernaturally, God had to put it in the drawer. We don't know how, maybe a kid ripped it out of his Bible, we don't know. It was in her drawer there, and as she picked it up, it had a warmth to it. And so that confirmed in her heart, this is a crazy idea Carl has, but maybe God's involved with it. So she expected something to happen. So meanwhile, back in Dallas, I decided I'm going to go find me a Subaru. I have no money, no credit, no credit cards, nothing. So I go to the first Subaru dealership. I tell them about my story. He says, well, okay. And I said, I'll trade in my LeBaron for whatever it's worth. I'll trade it in and use that as my down payment. And they said, okay, well, we filled out the paperwork. And then he called me back a few days later and said, no, Mr. Crames, we found out that the IRS has a lien on you. We cannot issue any credit to anybody like yourself, because once you have a lien by the IRS, you don't have any credit. So they said, we can't do this. We'd love to have done it. We would have taken your trade in, but we can't do it. And I said, oh, and I was a little dejected a little bit, but I said, no, I'm not giving up. So I called another dealership that was in Dallas, and basically the same thing, same result. Then God gave me an idea. There was one other Subaru dealership in Fort Worth, which is about 40 miles from Dallas. It's right there. It's kind of like the sister twin city with Dallas. And I got this idea. I knew how much I owed on my balance to pay off my debt with the IRS. It was around $1,400, $1,500. And I said, I wonder if they'll go for this. Who knows? I'll try. I said, what if I come into your dealership? This is the last dealership in Fort Worth. I said, you take my value of my Chrysler LeBaron, my crummy Chrysler LeBaron, which I figured was worth $1,400 or $1,500, and pay my debt off with it to the IRS. Then I won't have any bad debt, because I didn't have any debt, but I had only bad debt, and that was to the IRS. So they go, and so I told the guy this over the phone. He said, we've had stranger requests before. Why don't you come on in, and we'll talk about it. So I drove all the way down there to him, and I gave my idea, and I said, now the IRS office is just down the street in downtown Fort Worth. Why don't you guys just write a check to them, and I'll bring back the receipt and proof that there's no longer a lien on me, and then I can have your Subaru wagon. At that point, now I had no down payment, because it was being paying off my debt to the IRS. They said yes! I couldn't believe it. They said yes! So the Subaru dealership wrote a check to the IRS for the balance of my debt. I took it down to their office there, got the receipt, brought it back, showed them the proof, and they gave us a brand new Subaru wagon, brand new with no money down, and I drove off of there, and we got the Subaru wagon. So the story continues, and back a few months before, of course, we didn't have any money, so I had no way to pay the IRS again for that prior year's taxes. I hadn't paid them yet. I had a guy that offered to do my taxes for me for free, but I hadn't paid anything on it yet. So any day, I had a forwarding address from my post office, and I was expecting the dreaded letter to say, Mr. Crames, you owe X amount of dollars, and if you don't pay, we're going to put a lien on your property and freeze your they can freeze your salary, your bank account. They can do a lot of things. So I was dreading this day coming. So finally the letter came. I let it sit on the desk for two or three days. I didn't want to open it up. But I just knew God was doing stuff. He was blessing us. So I finally opened it up, and I read it, and my jaw dropped. It said, "Dear Mr. Crames, you didn't take the necessary credits to your tax return of 1987 that you should have. So we have recalculated your taxes." I never heard of such a thing. "We have recalculated your taxes. Instead of owing them $600-something, which might as well have been $6 million to me back then, we are sending you a check for $300-something as a refund." I'm going, "What? What?" Yeah. So, you know, this story that I'm going to tell is going to take a while. But I'll just let you, I think if Pastor Bill will ever let me come back and share this. No, I'll finish it up. But we finished the apartment guide thing that we're doing. It just lasted like a month and a half because we're just renewing ads to reprint it. And I ran out of stuff to do. No more job, nowhere else to go. And so a thought came to me. I used to live in Louisiana, and I've always loved fishing. And there was a place in Louisiana called Grand Isle. It's a little resort area. I don't know if anybody's ever been there before. They got their beach down there and beach houses, and similar to one of our Florida beaches. And so I had this business card. I said, "You know, Grand Isle needs a visitor's guide." I thought this 4 years ago. I said, "They don't have a visitor's guide to tell you where the motels and everything and the restaurants. They need one of those." So I had this business card of this lady where we had stayed when we went fishing. I still remember her name, Janice. And this wild idea came to me. I said, "I'm going to call her on the phone and ask her if she will let me stay at her place for free, and she can have the inside back cover of the brand new Grand Isle visitor's guide that does not exist yet, but we're getting ready to start one." So I called her up, and I told her what I was going to do, and guess what? She said yes. So we go down there, and we stayed there for a couple weeks. I got to fish. Which I love to fish, and I knew the area pretty well. And we started the very first ever Grand Isle visitor's guide. So I'm going to stop right there, but I want to take us back to your notes. And if you will look on the bottom half of page 1, I said a few of these things already, and it's how to activate your promises and be a blessing. I talked over them, but I want to go over it again and add a couple things to that. The first thing it says in your notes is be humble. Be humble and listen to qualified advice. Now you can put, if you want to write in there, you can put parents, coaches, employers, wise peers, not just any peers, but wise peers, spouses. And I want to camp on that for a second. Because spouses has been the most important thing in my life, my wife, Brenda, had. And, you know, when I shared this story a couple times in the early 90s, last time with my former pastor from Baton Rouge. He had a radio show in Tennessee, and I shared it on that show. And I've never shared the full story since. And I always wondered about that. And the Lord told me that you need to go through some things. I need a character makeover, basically, is what God showed me over these years. And so I've not really shared, and I'm not sharing the whole story today. I've got part 2 to share with you. But my wife has been the most important thing because I've been open to her, not that we haven't had disagreements, but I've been open to her to listen to her advice. And I want to say to every, especially husbands, but wives, it goes both ways, to listen to your spouse. That doesn't mean you have the same personality. That doesn't mean you do things the same way. That doesn't mean you have the same likes or dislikes. But Brenda and I think spiritually a lot alike. And so she's always helping me listen because I wasn't a good listener. I just wasn't. It wasn't natural for me. I was not a good listener. I had a short attention span. But she's helped me with that. And I would say, listen to your wife. Even if you don't agree with what your wife or husband just said, there's maybe something hidden in there that you didn't get because you tuned them out and you didn't listen to them. Listen to your wife. So that's the first thing. And a story that happened right in Atlanta before we did the Atlanta premiere, the thing that we failed at, or I failed at, there was a group of people that came around to our different ministries, and they were prophetic teams, like we do here on the prophetic nights, but they were a special team. They were prophetic presbytery. And if you were an up-and-coming leader, we went to a convention that they were at, and you could walk up, and they would have the recorders, and they gave us the prophetic words about what God's speaking to them about your life. And one guy said to Brendan, I'll never forget this. We keep to laugh about this all the time. He said, listen to your wife. He's talking to me. Listen to your wife. And he says, she is what you lack, and you lack what she is. Now, wait a minute. I basically lack everything, and she has everything. She's what I lack, and I lack what she is. So we laugh about that all the time. But, you know, listen to your wife. Number two, know that God is not angry with you. He wants, and this is your fill in the blank there, he wants to take your mess and turn it into a miracle. And I remember David, my friend David, told me this, but, a couple weeks ago, this really sunk in. Because I saw that through all my mess, God really loved me. He really, really does love me. He loves my family. He loves what he knows. He knew my heart was for him, but I had my system of believing God kind of messed up. And I made a bad mistake. I'd made a number of mistakes. But he really loves me. And that just really sunk in a couple weeks ago. I was preparing this message. Number three, make the decision to believe that God is for you no matter what the circumstances. I had to do that. I had to, because as you'll hear later on in the story and along the way, that things didn't always go the way I liked them to go, and that's life. Yeah. And we're just going to have to trust God. Now, the Apostle Paul went through very difficult times. He wrote a good part of the Bible, and Romans 8 is one of his string of things that the trials and tribulations he went through. But Romans 8:31, he sums it up like this. He says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Or what can be against us? If you just let God direct you, he's for us. And this is after he'd been beaten, dead, almost completely destroyed in his life. That was his conclusion. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one, nothing. Number four, talked about this when my friend David called me, but confess God's promises out loud every day. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith is not a one-time thing. Just like you don't lift weights one time, you put them down, or you do it for a few weeks, you put them down and think that 2 years from now you're going to be strong again. No, you have to. Faith is a relationship with God where you're confessing prayers, including prayers like this, of what God thinks about you every day. One of my favorite scriptures that I got when I was going through this, still is one of my favorite scriptures of all times, is Philemon 1:6. This is in the Amplified Version. It says, and I pray that the communication of your faith, circle that word communication, of your faith may become effective through the knowledge or acknowledging, that's what it says in the Amplified, acknowledging, you can circle that too, of every good thing, not bad things, good things that are in you for Christ's sake. God has good things deposited into you. We just got to tap into it and tap in how to activate those good things. So how does your faith get communicated? By acknowledging good things that are inside of you, and that starts with God's promises, his scriptures that we said in the just a second ago. So one version says in communication, the sharing of your faith. You want to be more effective in sharing your faith? Acknowledge that God is inside of you and he wants you to be bold as a lion instead of timid. So we have copies of these scriptures of God's promises in the Connect Corner that you can pick up after the service. And you're welcome to have them. If we run out, we'll get you some more. Just let Pastor Mike know, or Brenda or myself, we'll get you some more. Number five, listen to and read materials on how to stay positive and how to apply his blessing principles. Listen to, because again, faith comes by hearing. So even people in battlefields know that you can brainwash people by playing something over the intercom and when they're in a prison system over and over and over again. If you listen to bad news on the news media and don't know that it's bad news or inaccurate news, I could say, if you listen to it long enough, you're going to go, I wonder if that really is true, and with no basis whatsoever for it. But so something, we get our minds brainwashed in a good way when we listen to and read materials on how to stay positive. 3 John verse 1, 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So God wants us to be blessed and prosperous in every area. Now, I've been talking mainly about financial blessings and the goodness of God, which those are good. Those are good starts. But some of us may be going through marital problems, some of us with relational problems in our family, health problems. There's all kinds of things, and there are scriptures for solutions for every one of those areas. And we have two sets of scriptures back there. I don't know if Brenda had time to get the other one, but there's one that covers a variety of different areas by topic. The ones that I have are mainly the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and the financial aspects of that I have. But we have some other scriptures as well we can get to you back there. Number 6, always remember the reason that we are blessed is so that is to intentionally be a blessing. Intentionally be a blessing. Pastor Bill shared this scripture last week. Matthew 5, 16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Notice it didn't say that God was going to just shine through you. He does shine through us. I'm not saying he doesn't shine through us, but there has to be something we have to do to activate that light. It says, "Let your light shine." So you have to do something with the light that's inside of you. You have to say something, you have to do something to let, because God just doesn't want us to be blessed, say, "Hey, I got savings to retire on, I've got this, I've got that." He wants us to use it to build the kingdom of God. So really, there's two main reasons that we're still here after we become a Christian. And, you know, I'm generalizing when I say this, I understand that. But number one is to know God and to be changed day by day to be more like Him, which involves relationship. Being a Christian is not getting on your calculator and trying to figure out a whole bunch of stuff of how God can help me out, but it's about relationship. It's relationship with God, and we show our love for God by relationships with each other. So we have plenty of opportunities in Victory Church for you to have relationships both with God. We have teaching materials, and you have a Bible, and we have relationships with each other through small groups and dream teams. We have different ways you can get to know each other. And so the other reason is to spread this awesome privilege of eternal life. It's awesome. You know, I'm so glad that somebody had the courage to come up to me and talk to me about dedicating my life to Jesus Christ. You know, if he hadn't come, and maybe somebody else would have come along, I don't know. But that's what we're here for. It's his methodology. You can say, "I don't know, I would have chosen this way of doing it or not, God. Maybe I would have used angels or something like that." But no, he's chosen us to share Jesus and what it really means to be a Christian. There's a lot of confusion out there about what it really means to be a Christian. And, you know, a lot of the media things that we listen to is not doing it a lot of help. So they need someone like you and I to share their story. We all have a story of how Jesus changed our life, and we can show them a young little child can follow Jesus. A two-year-old can receive this. Not that difficult. So I'd like us to just bow our head in prayer for a minute. I want to ask a couple questions. First of all, you heard part of my story, and you heard the story of how God delivered us, and I failed quite a few times. But God said to me, "You failed, but you're not a failure." And I want to say that to you as our heads are bowed. You may think that you're a failure, but you're not. God has a plan for you. And today He wants to set that plan in motion and activate you into what His purposes and His plans are for you, no matter how many times you fail. The Apostle Peter failed tremendously just a few days before he was given the privilege of preaching the very first sermon of the church where thousands were saved. He denied the Lord 3 times, literally 3 times in one night, and Jesus still told him, "I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter." He said it 3 times to him. For every time he failed, he told him, "I love you." God's saying today that He loves you. If you're in a financial mess or you're in a relational mess, God wants to get you out of that. And if you say, "Carl, pray for me. I'm in a little situation right now. I need some prayer. I want to activate these things, these principles that you told me about. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. If you need God to help you in the mess that you're in, and you want it to be turned into a miracle, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. A lot of hands going up. Thank you. So I'm going to agree with me under your breath for this prayer, because something happens when you say something. So pray with me. Father God, I thank you for those who've humbled themselves and said, Lord, I need your help. I want to be victorious in every area of my life. So Lord, I pray and agree with them now that Jesus, that you would cancel the curse that's tried to attack them through our mistakes, and you would activate the promises of God in their life right now. We receive that. Devil, I tell you, I break every curse that's been spoken by them or by others over them. I cancel your rights by the name and the blood of Jesus, and I now activate the promises of God in every person, Lord, so that we're going to hear some awesome stories of God blessing people and turning things around in them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the second thing is that you might say, well, Pastor Carl, if you were to, and I could ask this question, is that if you were to die tonight, can you say for sure that if something tragic happened, would I go to heaven? Can you say it? Can you say to God, and to anyone for that matter, I know I'm going to heaven? If you're not sure about that, I want to pray with you. So let's keep our heads bowed for a second and say, you know, Pastor Carl, I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. So you might be in one of two places. You might say, well, I've never really committed my life to Jesus and have never really received him into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you prayed that at one time and you know that your lifestyle right now is not following God and you want to get back on track. So this is your day for that too. If you don't know for sure, the Bible says in 1 John 5, it says, I write these things to you little children who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So God wants you to know. He wrote that to people asking that question. He wants you to know that you're going to go to heaven. So if you're not sure, but you just want to say, Pastor Carl, I want to be sure, would you pray for me so that I can know right now that I'm going to heaven? Would you raise your hand if you want me to pray for you to know for sure? Thank you. Anybody else that's not sure that they're going to go to heaven or wants to recommit their life to Christ today? Anybody else on that? Amen. Thank you. Well, let's pray together, and let's pray that we can be sure. And so repeat after me, and everyone join in with him. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that Jesus Christ is your Son, and he died on a cross for my sin, and then you rose him from the dead. So right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me be the person you want me to be. So right now, I make you my Lord and Savior. So I declare out of my mouth that I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.